planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And, of course, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for this hour, we're going to have with us Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, who's been at this even longer than I have. He got started in the late 50s, and I got started in the early 1960s, and we're going to be talking about what's happening to our country and to the world financially. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Wonderful day.
Now, it looks to me like, the gold closed fairly strong on Friday, and suddenly over the weekend, after hours trading, it seemed to have, gone down again. What happened?
Well, as you know, that there was a holiday in the United States today.
Right.
And there was one in Canada. And so the gold suppression cartel decided that they would take gold down on low volume when nobody else was looking, so to speak. And so they manipulated it downward again. But I think it'll be back up tomorrow. It's to be expected from these people because they're going to continue to try to keep the price of gold down so that people won't realize that we're in hyperinflation and that we get some very, very serious problems.
Well, they keep telling us that we're not in hyperinflation, that inflation is 2%, or maybe if you look at the other, inflation is 4%. But I don't know how anybody in their right mind can look at the things in the stores, and certainly the grocery stores and the price of oil and gasoline, and not realize that we really are in hyperinflation.
Yeah, that's correct. And I wrote a piece which is going into Wednesday's issue of the International Forecaster, and It discusses the fraudulent official statistics which are put out by our Labor Department, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and also our Commerce Department. And this is something that's been going on since the early 1980s, but now they've got it to a fine art, and they change all the statistics to suit their fancy, the most important being the Consumer Price Index, the Producer Price Index, and also our employment reports.
Well, the old adage that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure, is just about what's going on today. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Absolutely, and it doesn't know any political party. They're all the same.
But, of course, the thing is that so much is the perception of how people look at things. If they see the market going up, they feel good. They see the market going down, they feel bad. They see the price of gold going up, they begin to feel a little unwary that maybe there's something wrong with our currency. But as long as it stays down, why most people are reassured that the Washington, D.C. has everything under control. But the question is, do they really have things under control? What's happening as far as certainly this current crisis with the collateralized debt obligations?
Well, first off, they don't have it under control, and they're still in very, very serious trouble. And second of all, the word perception is very important, and I'm glad you used it because Alan Greenstrand explained on a recent interview that how we got a hold of the market and controlled it in interest rates and other things was that we got people to perceive what was going to happen. we propagandize them into believing this, that, or the other thing was in process. And so what Alan Greenspan was saying is, don't watch what I say, what I do. And he was manipulating the markets.
Well, that, we're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman right here at Genesis.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Hi, I'm David, and if you wake up at night to urinate like I was, then you'll want to take advantage of this special risk-free offer. If you have dribbling, burning, or pain during or after urination, then you may have a condition known as benign prostate enlargement. This is potentially serious and can get worse with age, so get regular checkups from your doctor and take advantage of this special risk-free offer on Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains natural ingredients that help support a healthy prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more beta-satosterols than ordinary soft palmetto, so it's powerful and it works. What's better is that Beta Prostate is a healthy supplement, so you don't need a prescription for it, and it's risk-free.
For your risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-894-3418. That's 1-800-894-3418. Try Beta Prostate risk-free. That's 1-800-894-3418.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, all debt has become mathematically impossible to repay, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Bob Chapman. And certainly one of the more interesting things that we have is certainly the background of the exchanges between Congressman Ron Paul and Alan Greenspan when Alan Greenspan testified before the House Banking Commission in 2004 and 2005. And incidentally, the exchange is recorded in my latest newsletter, which is not available yet, but will be before long. But at one point in the 2005 questioning, Congressman Paul pointed out to Alan Greenspan that since 1981, that would be going to 2005, which would be about 34 years, that the Federal Reserve System had increased the amount of money in circulation 12-fold, and that the federal debt had increased 19-fold. I mean, what you're really talking about is just massive destruction of the value of our currency. Of course, a lot of that's been shifted overseas, but, when that money starts coming home, and it's going to come home as countries throughout the world lose confidence in the American dollar, because they don't believe what the people are saying, what Bernanke is telling them, they know the dollar's in real trouble. We're the greatest debtor nation the world has ever seen. And one of these days, we may very well, just as so many other countries have done, be forced to default on our debt. So a lot of the other countries are trying to unload dollars, aren't they, Bob?
Yeah, a lot of them have been for some time. As of the end of last year, the forex reserves, the foreign exchange reserves of other central banks throughout the world were 64.75% in U.S. dollars. I would think here, well, at least 6 months later, that figure would probably be lower. And if I had to guess, I would say it would be around 61 or 2%. And, yes, they are selling, and they realize the dollar is going to go lower. Of course, they're under tremendous pressure from the United States government that not only tries to convince them that they shouldn't add to the problem, but they also coerce them as well, and they threaten them. And there's absolutely no question. And but it's going to continue. And I think that Asia is one of the great holders of dollar-denominated assets, and I think they have Enceladus and will continue to be. And I think the figure is over $4 trillion. And it's in my next issue. I just can't remember all of the statistics. And, of course, about 70% is with China and Japan. Japan would never be a seller. They made a deal with the U.S. government after the Second World War, and they're supposed to do what they're told. But that said, everybody else is up for grabs. And then, of course, you had Qatar and some of the other nations in the Middle East who are said that they are no longer going to peg their currencies to the dollar because the dollar is exporting inflation to their economies, and that's correct. It is. It's exporting inflation to every country in the world. Then you have the case of Iran, where the United States got a hold of all of the people who run finance in all of the countries and told them they didn't want them doing business with Iran in dollars. So what Iran has done, which they had to do, because banks wouldn't handle their dollar deposits, they've gone out and now they are receiving, and they're the fourth largest supplier of oil in the world at the present time, and they're going out and so far 80% of their income is 60% in euros and 20% in Japanese yen and the rest of the various currencies, but they are getting totally out of the dollar, which actually they were forced to do. It wasn't their choice. And, you know, the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury and the administration have made a tragic mistake here in order to try to apply sanctions to Iraq. They didn't, Iran, they didn't think the whole thing out, because what they have essentially done is they've started the ball rolling for oil producers in this case to not use the dollar.
Well, now what about Venezuela?
And that's devastating.
Well, I know it will be. If more and more countries quit using the dollar as the reserve currency, this is then going to force all of these dollars that are overseas to become flooding back into America with devastating results. But my understanding is that Venezuela has Chavez actually stopped selling in dollars, or is he actually going to continue going along with this?
Well, he's been going along with it, but he's a dollar seller. And, you know, because of the social programs that they have in Venezuela, they're using a lot of dollars to buy things to bolster the living standard of people. And so as fast as they come in, they go out the back door in the form of purchases. And a lot of foreign owners of dollars, what they've been doing is coming to America and buying anything that looked decent as a purchase, and they're dumping dollars that way. I mean, the Chinese and many others are just dumping wholesale. They'll buy anything that's decent. Very often what they do is, and most of the time, they'll come in and buy a corporation, particularly in technology that they don't have, and they'll just strip the company down, move everything back to, say, China, and everybody gets laid off, and the company's no longer there.
Well, my understanding is, of course, that the Chinese are actually coming in and buying up some of our military technology companies, and we're selling them the companies that produce our secret technology. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does if you're a member of the Illuminati, because you don't care. All you want is wealth and power, and you don't care if the United States gets destroyed. They'll just move to another country.
Well, I fear that there really are people who are out there who really do intend to destroy America. We built up in China the best possible enemy that money could buy. Hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, have been invested there through the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and the Asian Development Bank, and the Export-Import Bank, all funded with our tax money. And then our great banks and corporations are going over there, building up the economy, the manufacturing technology of China, so that they can export to our country and put our companies out of business.
Well, that's easy to solve. And all we have to do is get Congress to reenact tariffs on manufactured goods and services.
I know, but you and I know that they have no intention of letting that happen. That's the logical solution. I don't think they want a logical solution.
Well, I can give you a logical solution if they don't.
Right.
The total collapse of the American economy and revolution.
And I really think that's exactly what they want. That's why they've given Halliburton $385 million to stand by to build detention camps, because they're planning on civilian unrest when the American people suddenly realize that their currency is worthless and they have no jobs and they're facing starvation, as they are in Rhodesia today, Zimbabwe, under the government that we imposed there.
Well, in Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, where I lived for 3 years, you have a Marxist running the government, and they've disemboweled, in the true sense of the word, the economy. But if you notice, none of the Western nations have stepped in. And why? Because they want them all to starve to death. It's a culling process.
I think what the tragedy is, I think you're absolutely right. I talked to a gentleman from Zimbabwe this morning, 13,000% a year of the inflation at the present time. And some people say it's much higher than that. And that's the official. The official inflation is probably 20 to 30,000% a year, thanks to the government that our State Department imposed there. So it doesn't make sense if you look at it logically, if you understand that this is exactly what Henry Kissinger wanted when he promised the American, the Rhodesian people, that if anything ever happened, the American people would stand behind them. Question is, who's going to stand behind the American people?
Lon Carrington said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sold Rhodesia out.
Sure.
And Ian Smith was part of it. I know I lived there. And, you know, everybody lets him off the hook, but I don't. And, I believe from the very beginning he was a plant.
He may very well have been. Certainly, they control both sides of the political spectrum. They always want to control the opposition. And they're really, really such professionals at that. And some of the most violently anti-communist organizations, or anti-new age organizations, or pro-religious organizations, are actually have been created by the people on the other side.
That's absolutely true. Because if they don't exist, they'll create them so that they can control them.
Right. Well, you certainly never want an uncontrolled opposition. Far better, of course, to finance the opposition, and that way you can control them. Well, let's get back to what's happening economically here. Certainly, are we seeing any let-up in the intensity of the collateralized debt obligation crisis? And for people who don't know what that is, well, that's all of these bonds that were created by our major financial houses are made of mortgage loans that are non-performing, that is subprime loans that never should have been issued, and the people simply aren't paying their monthly rents.
Well, you're correct. And to answer your question, is that market getting any better? And the answer is no.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman. And if you're out there in the listening audience across America, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question for Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
said Bob. At least as far as our production and other similar things are concerned, certainly we're losing a lot of our manufacturing overseas, but what we have here seems to be functioning fairly well outside of the automotive industry. Or is it? What is the truth about America's manufacturing and the state of our economy as a whole?
Well, the jobs that are being lost through free trade and globalization, offshoring and outsourcing, those $32 an hour jobs are being replaced by $10 or $12 per hour jobs. And, of course, that's devastating, one-third the income. And some of the people who lost their jobs, they were able to get separation, and so they've been living off of that to make up the difference. And that's if they have a job. And some have been taking equity out of their home, but I think that is quickly coming to an end because house prices are falling and equity is diminishing. And so I think that the greater part of jobs have been made in the service area, in the very low categories. And it's hard, as I said, for someone who's been making $32 an hour to live on $10 an hour. And then also you have people who have perpetually made low wages, and they're losing their jobs to illegal aliens. And that's not very good. And then we have government making up jobs and are creating them. And then what's in industry is almost all in services. And so it is a very, very bad mix. And as I said earlier, that if we don't have tariffs, it's over. It's the only way you can protect your jobs.
Well, of course.
And if it's inflationary, so what? We've already got 14% increase in the creation of money and credit, which is the old M3, and that's been going on in the United States for 4 years and 2.5 years in 18 out of 20 other major countries. And so, and of course, they just opened the discount window, and they're giving money out like it was popcorn. And so inflation is going to continue to raid. So those that say that goods coming in from higher other countries that are going to be higher priced causing inflation is true, but so what? Number one, you'll have a job, and number two, you're going to pay more anyway.
Well, certainly the founding fathers of America believed in tariffs. This free trade is a wonderful theory. It's a wonderful idea about free trade, but unfortunately, you know, if you love America and you want our people to do well, why, there's no way our workers can compete with the workers in China who work for $2 a day. And our leaders know that. This is part of a plan of actually destroying the middle class, of course, impoverishing our people, and transferring America's wealth to other nations throughout the world. And I'd call that a treasonous act. These people have no loyalty to America, but to this globalist dream. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Absolutely, I agree. And, you know, what this really is, something that England used for centuries, it's called British mercantilism. And it's no more nor less than that. And the people who, companies who manufacture offshore and bring the goods into the United States, they're the ones that are making all the money. And they're transnational, international conglomerates, which are controlled by the Illuminati.
And I think people have to understand that the only solution is tariffs, and unless the American people understand, and certainly we vote every person in Congress with one or two exceptions out, we're never going to have tariffs, and you're going to see the death knell of the American dollar, the death knell of American industry, because what they really want to do is impoverish our people, and people who are hungry and destitute and have lost everything, you know, will be much more agreeable, much more docile, and go right along with their plan for the New World Order, the New World Religion, and wait till the next war comes, because I think there's going to be another war before long, and that is really going to bankrupt the American dollar. How could we ever, you know, afford even to continue the current wars, Bob, when we're having to borrow money every single day just to meet our expenses? We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. And, of course, our number, 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question for Bob, we're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, and you've got to help us get the truth out, because you're not going to get it from the current people in Washington, D.C.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645. Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. Debt Bubble Red Alert and Real Estate Crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
Each night when you sleep, your body uses the time to restore itself so that you could wake up feeling renewed. But wouldn't it be nice to also wake up looking younger? Now there's Night Skin, a serum that goes on while you sleep to reduce age spots, reduce the appearance of wrinkles, and moisturize the skin. Night Skin was made by Dr. Arthur Perry, a board-certified cosmetic surgeon, as an alternative to some invasive surgeries. It has real ingredients that have been shown to reduce the signs of aging and fight natural sun damage, all while you get a good night's sleep. Try Night Skin today and see what it's like to wake up feeling renewed, both inside and out.
Try Night Skin risk-free by calling 1-800-894-3418. Night Skin is guaranteed to renew your skin overnight. Turning back the clock has never been this easy. Try Night Skin risk-free today. Call 1-800-894-3418. That's 1-800-894-3418.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest this afternoon, Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. Our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. And before I go on, Bob, I want you to go ahead and get out your website and your telephone number. People would like to get a trial copy of the International Forecaster, which incidentally I read twice a week when it comes. In fact, when Bob forgets to send one, a machine forgets. Bob never forgets anything, but the machine occasionally will forget. And believe me, I'm always right on top of it. I look forward to Bob's commentary, and you will too. Bob, how can people get a copy of the International Forecaster so they'll learn what they're missing?
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues throughout the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually about 25 or 30 pages each time, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month. If you'd like to visit our site on the Internet, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com, the international, forecaster.com. For those of you who might have a question, finances or something like that, we answer everybody. Our email address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And for those who would like a free introductory copy, you can either go to the site or you can call 800-375-4188. That's toll free, 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, I recommend the forecaster to people. I think it does a great job. Now, Bob, you know, as we see what's going on, you were talking how, of course, Great Britain used this technique of free trade for a long time, but Great Britain's getting into some economic problems at the present time as well, isn't she? Tagging right along behind America. In fact, the whole world, it would appear, is just pouring money out. The whole world is going to be moving into an inflationary spiral. Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, they're already into it, and they're all lying about their numbers. You know, Europe's talking about 1.8 to 2.2%. It's just a fairy tale. Inflation in Europe and in England is overall on average running 5 to 6%. And in the United States, it's about 11.1%. And the creation of money and credit is averaging in the European Central Bank zone, which is the Eurozone, 10.6%, down from 10.7% last month, or the month before, I should say. And there are a number of nations which are over that, so the average comes in around 14, which is what the U.S. expansion of money and credit, which used to be called M3, is running at presently. And so we've got plenty of inflation going all over the world, and we are exporting inflation to every country that uses a dollar to any great extent, places like Mexico and Europe and in England. And that's why a lot of the countries now are getting rid of their dollars as quickly as they come in, although I think a number of them are still holding and roll the, and you might call it renew, their U.S. Treasury paper and agency paper, which is Fannie, Freddie, and that sort of those sort of bonds. But the point is that the dollar is being sold, and it will continue to be, because as long as we have free trade, and as long as it is the mission of our government and people who control our government from behind the scenes to destroy our economy, it will continue.
Well, I think it's fine. It's very difficult for many of the people out there in the listening audience to believe that there really are people working for our government who would want to destroy our economy and destroy the stability of our economic system. And yet, all you have to do is read the Earth Charter, and their point 10A talks about equitable distribution of wealth between nations, and that means we've got to give up our wealth. There is no other way, and the Earth Charter is basically exactly what is being followed. You know, it's a master plan for everything going on in the world today. So, I mean, certainly the average American is going to find it very difficult to believe until he's lost his job. He suddenly finds that what little savings he has or his pension fund has more or less become worthless. What do you think is going to happen to the stock market? Certainly, we're up over 14,000. Some people are talking about it going to 16,000 or 20,000. Do you think it could go that high?
It's possible, but not probable. The market is being propelled by an excessive amount of liquidity, which is being injected by the banking system from the Fed, which is going to Wall Street and the banks in order to bail them out because they were in precarious financial position, and they're still not out of the woods. And a great deal of that money is going into the stock market to propel it higher, because it's the only thing that they can hang their hat on and say, well, gee, look, the market's going up. Earnings are dreadful. Earnings are going to come down. From 4 years of 18.5% growth, all the experts said last November they would be 13.5% this year. I said 4 to 8%, and now I'm seeing estimates coming in at 2.75 to 3. And so the fundamentals are not there for the market. That is growing earnings, and that's what's supposed to make the market move, our stocks to perform better. And so this will spend itself, You wake up one morning and you'll find out that the market's down 500, and then it'll go down quickly from there. And yes, they will continue to throw money into it. They will continue to use the yen carry trade. And every time you see the yen go down in volume and in value, you know that the market's going to go up that day. Because what the banks in New York do is they go to a bank in Tokyo, they borrow hypothetically $1 billion in yen, and they take the yen, turn it into dollars, and take that money into their bank and lend 8 times that to others. And so that's where all of that fractional banking liquidity comes from. And that's what's going to end up devastating the economy.
But what's that going to do to Japan when the carry trade it disappears and all of these, these yen that are all over the world there begin flooding back into Japan? Won't that, you mean, the Japanese have been saving their money. I mean, they've been really for, ever since 1991, they've been saving 16 years now. They've been putting their money, into banks, hoping that they'd have some security for their old age. What's going to happen to the value of the yen when all these yen all throughout the world being used in the carry trade suddenly come flooding back?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that the yen will go up to a dollar first. Then it'll turn around and go right back down again. They had $1.3 trillion in debt, and since 1992, they whittled it down to $100 to $200 billion. And so they've been successful at that, but they've had a recession, if not depression, during the meantime. In fact, they can't even raise interest rates. If they do, then the price of their goods will go up, and the Chinese will have them for breakfast. And so Japan's in a very tough spot, and it's not going to get better for them. It's going to get worse, just like it is for the United States and its big trading partners. Canada and Mexico are the biggest ones. They both export about 80% of their exports to the United States. And they're going to get whacked hard. And they've been, absorbing higher inflation through the dollars that they receive for their goods which are shipped to the United States. I mean, prices in those two countries have gone up considerably in the last 5 to 6 years. In Canada, things cost about 40% more than they do in the United States. That's been true 25 to 30% for the last 10 or 15 years. But now it's getting more out of hand, we'll call it. And, a meal at in Mexico City that cost $10 5 years ago is now $13 or $14. And so we're having a tremendous negative impact on the world.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, as far as the stock market is concerned, you anticipate then that it's going to go up with inflation, or do you think it's going to go into a precipitous fall, or do you think we're going to sort of limp along where we are for the time being? What would you suggest? Is there any way that people may be able to profit from the stock market at the present time?
Well, it's a very, very hard call because the fundamentals aren't there. So I can't, in honesty, tell people to be in the stock market, with the exception of gold and silver stocks, as well as oil and gas stocks. But other than that, I can't do that, because it's going to break sooner or later, but I don't know when, and I don't think anybody else does either. And so I would stay out of markets. I talk to a lot of people who are bound up in 401ks, et cetera, and they don't know what to do, so they go to a money market fund, I guess, and that's the only alternative for them, and they have to hope that the money market fund isn't holding a lot of toxic bonds such as CDOs and ABSs, and which is, there's a lot of them out there. And so my general feeling is stay out of the market.
All right, fine. Well, now, certainly, what about the gold and the silver stocks? Have they really started moving up? They, from what I've seen, they're not up that very much, nowhere near as much as I might have anticipated with the rise of gold.
Well, that's true. They've had two problems. Things are costing them more. Inflation is raising the cost of doing business. And so that has affected their earnings. But more importantly, we have the United States government through the working group on financial markets, which has been going into markets, and they're doing all kinds of things. And one of the things that they're doing is shorting, particularly the large cap gold and silver stocks. And it's been going on for a long time. You know, as a former professional trader, I can tell you, I can see it. You can feel it. I mean, you know, when you're in markets like I was, it's intuition. And that's what they're doing. And they're probably going to continue to do it, but that doesn't mean that these stocks won't make large gains. At this time, and perhaps in the immediate future, the gains will not be as good as they should have been. But in the long term, I think the shares will do extraordinarily well, as will gold and silver in relation to gold and silver prices.
Well, of course, I know that in the past you've spoken very highly of Agrico Eagle. Is that still a pretty solid stock?
Terrific company. That and Silver Standard are my top picks and the better quality stocks. And I have a couple of speculations, Capella Resources and Helix Ventures, both of which I think have great promise. And I've been very fortunate. We've had a lot of winners, several 100%. Over the last 5 or 6 years. And I expect that will continue. Maybe I'll have a loser once in a while, but nobody's perfect.
Well, of course, this Capella, now aren't they going to be really more less dependent upon the availability of funds to borrow to go ahead and develop this mine they have? It's, apparently the mine's up pretty close to the Canadian border, isn't it?
Well, they have properties in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia.
Right.
And in Labrador, and they soon will have their assays coming in on those properties, which are uranium.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have a gold property in South Dakota that used to belong to Homestake. The Helix has a mining property, gold and silver, in the Sierra Madre in Mexico, in Durango, which is on the eastern slope of the Madre. And it's an old mine. Hasn't been worked for hundreds of years, and I think they're going to do very well with it. And one of the reasons why is it's surrounded by land property, which is being mined by a large mining company. So it bodes well.
All right, well, of course, but do they have the funds to do this? Are they going to be, you know, dependent upon borrowing? Because that's where you get into trouble.
They don't borrow.
Oh, they don't?
No, they'll sell more stock.
I see. Okay.
You don't have that problem with these little companies, and you don't have much shorting at all. You know, traders have to be suicidal to short a 50-cent or a dollar stock. I mean, I can understand a $5 stock. We've got one out there, Rainy River, that went from 85 cents to $7. It's now trading around 450, and I'm waiting for a buyout on it. And sure, there's plenty of shorts in it. And sure, it did a little suffering when hedge funds were toned and sold it so they could raise money to bail themselves out of their CDO toxic waste. But these things happen in markets.
Sure.
And, but, you know, you go after the fundamentals and the management and the properties, and after doing it for 48 years, I've been pretty fortunate.
All right, fine. Well, our guest certainly has been Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and we're sort of talking generally about what's going on out there, certainly in the market, but even more than that, as far as the American economy, which, of course, has been manipulated by the central bank for many years, and certainly the dollar, which was worth a dollar in 1913, and, of course, the purpose of the Federal Reserve was to stabilize the value of our currency, and that dollar is worth 4 cents today. And not only that, but it's lost another 40% of its value in the last about 3 years. So we're not doing very well with maintaining the value of our currency. Isn't this certainly a hindrance? Everybody doesn't keep a lot of people from bothering to try to save money because it's going down so rapidly?
Well, when you have interest rates that are prohibitive in payment. In other words, if you have money at the bank and you have an account, what are they going to pay you, 2 or 3%? And that's hardly worth it. So what people do is they don't save money, they speculate. And that's why we have the speculative economy that we have. It's a terrible penalty for the old and retired, because what happens is that they, let's say that a retiree is, say, $500,000, and all they can safely get is 4.5% on it. That's not a very good return when inflation's over 11%.
Sure.
And they lose money every year.
No, but they have the audacity to charge the income tax on the 4.5%.
Yeah, you're right. As regular income.
And, of course, inflation is a hidden tax, and they know it. That's the trouble. They are stealing from the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. One more time, Bob, you want to get out your website?
Sure, and that is theinternationalforecaster.com. Theinternationalforecaster.com. The email is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. International_forecaster@yahoo.com.
All right, fine, and we hope to have Bob with us on a regular basis here, perhaps once a week or so, and to keep you abreast of what's going on. But don't hesitate to call in. We always love to hear from you, and you'll learn a lot from him. Our number, well, till next Monday, bye-bye, may the Lord be with you.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm a plastic surgeon, and I see a lot of people who come to my office for facelifts and collagen injections. But I want to tell you today about a product that I developed. It's called Night Skin, and it helps your skin look younger without needles, without acid peels, and without a facelift. In 12 hours, it will make your skin seem smoother. In 12 hours, it will stimulate collagen production. And in 12 hours, it will promote elastin growth in your skin. What does this all mean? Well, this is the stuff that makes your skin firm and healthy and helps you look younger. Night Skin is real, and the results are real, and it contains only proven ingredients that work to lighten age spots, smooth the skin, and help diminish the appearance of wrinkles. It's easy, and in 12 hours, you'll see it works. Try it risk-free today.
To order Night Skin risk-free, call 1-800-894-3462. Learn how to get a free bottle by responding to this ad. Call 1-800-894-3462. That's 1-800-894-3462.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and as you know, we do about 25 programs a week. This week we're going to do several more. We've got an extra couple of radio programs lined up, and And, of course, we are on almost 60 different outlets every week. But, quite frankly, we need your help to maintain what we have. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Want to remind you about our all-day conference we're going to be having on the 28th of October. That's a Sunday. But we're going to have it on Sunday because we had so many people could come that day, couldn't come on Saturday. And it's going to be all bringing in outside speakers. We're going to serve lunch. You're going to have a reservation. I think you'll have a great time. Again, if you'd like to come to our all-day seminar, Radio Liberty Seminar at the North Shore of the Monterey Bay there at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, our number is 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like to understand what's really happening financially, let me suggest my little pamphlet. It's inexpensive. I think it's only $3.95. It's called The History of Money, What You Should Know. And then we have a talk. It's available on video or DVD. It's called The Financial Tsunami. The Financial Tsunami. And then, of course, you can get the syllabus that goes with that. You really need to have that so that you can begin analyzing the Federal Reserve reports, know where to look in them, understand what they're doing. And, of course, what they're doing, what they'll never tell you, is they're massively expanding the money supply, which is highly inflationary, and they're lying to you about what's going on. It's illegal. It's a federal crime if you lie to a federal official, but federal officials lie to you every single day of the week, and they're doing that about what's happening with the money. So if you would like, why, of course, the Financial Tsunami, the DVD or video, and the syllabus at a reduced price if you get the two of them together at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to read more, we suggest the excellent book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island explains finance, explains the games they play, explains how a small group of men plotted to bring about a Federal Reserve System, which the American people thought had something to do with the federal government, and it doesn't. It's a privately owned central bank created for the bankers, by the bankers, to enrich the bankers. And as they say, since 1913, they have destroyed 96%, probably closer to 98%, of the value of the dollar that existed in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was established to give us a solid currency, a stable currency. And they have actually, since 1971, increased the amount of money in circulation 12-fold and the federal debt 19-fold. According to Ron Paul, and if you want that documented, you'll find it in my newsletter, in my September newsletter, which will be out hopefully in a few days. And I believe it's actually quoted in my August newsletter, which should be up on the internet at this time. Let me suggest in the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and Fiat Money Inflation in France. You need to understand what's going on monetarily, because if you don't, you're going to end up pauperized. If you'd like a free copy of the Earth Charter, why, of course, we'll be glad to send it to you, but you can pull it down off the internet. Just type, Google in the word Earth Charter, get it, read it, note point 10A. Point 10A. Equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. What they're talking about is redistribution of your wealth. And, of course, the impoverishment, the destruction of the middle class of America. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron. a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and, of course, the views of our guest. Our guest this afternoon is to have been Professor Peter Little, and his name is Littleback, Lillback. And it's a fascinating book. It's called George Washington's Sacred Fire. And, of course, the whole idea of the book, and it's almost 1,100 pages, is looking into what the spiritual motivation of George Washington is. And, of course, as Professor Littleback points out, why there are some people who say that George Washington, the father of our country, was a deist. He wasn't a real Christian in the modern sense of the terms. And then there are other evangelicals who say, oh, no, George Washington was an evangelical Christian, just like us here today. And, of course, those people who would support that George Washington was an evangelical Christian are those who point to the Christian history of the heritage of America. And those people who say that George Washington was a deist or an that there really was no Christian foundation for this nation. And so what Professor Littleback has tried to do is to do the research, careful research, to find out where in the truth really lies as far as this is concerned. Because, you see, George Washington's religious faith has certainly an influence on how we perceive America and the heritage of this once great country. Under any circumstances, I think it's important that the American people know what George Washington really believed. Because George Washington truly was the father of our country, first in war and first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. He was a great hero. He was the first president of the United States. And his views, I think, reflected those of the majority of the founding fathers. And those people who hate America and who hate Christianity will try to convince you that they were all deists. Now, there were a few of them who were. And certainly, from a purely academic point of view, why Benjamin Franklin and, to a lesser extent, Thomas Jefferson were deists, although Jefferson, as he grew older, increasingly became more willing to go along with the Christian faith, although he rejected some of the more extreme forms of Christianity, such as Calvinism. In fact, I have one of exchange of his letters between Thomas Jefferson and his former protagonist, and eventually his close friend John Adams. And, of course, there in the letter, why Adams had said, you know, I hope you become a Calvinist before you die. And Thomas Jefferson wrote back to his friend John Adams and said, if that is the presumption, then I will live forever, not because I will never become a Calvinist. But they were good-hearted, and certainly Calvinism has many things in it that I can't necessarily agree. But many of the people there were the traditional Christians of that area, and certainly that was what is brought out beautifully in this book about George Washington. He was an Anglican. He believed in the Trinity, and of course, time and again, when you read his writings, you will realize, of course, that George Washington did embrace the traditional Christian faith that existed here in the United States in the 1700s. But of course, this has been progressively blotted out from the reality of most Americans.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, all debt has become mathematically impossible to repay, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
So you've decided to make the switch to a healthier lifestyle, eating more organic fruits and vegetables, staying away from unhealthy snacking, and cutting out dangerous salts from your diet. The only problem is you don't know how to keep it interesting. We are happy to introduce to you the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator will keep healthy eating adventurous and fun. The Excalibur Dehydrator preserves fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about all that produce spoiling. The best yogurt is made from home, so make your own with the Excalibur Dehydrator. Not only will the Excalibur Dehydrator dry your fish and meats in just a few hours, it helps eliminate preservatives, additives, and excessive salt. The Excalibur Dehydrator is so amazing you can even use it for home craft projects and more. Be sure to mention GCN and get a free gift with your purchase. Go to drying123.com and see what else the Excalibur Dehydrator can do for you. That's drying123.com or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dr. Peter Lilback. Thank you so very much for being with us. Appreciate you taking the time from your busy schedule, but I think this is really a very important book. Could you let our listeners know why you spent, you know, what you must, what, a 10 or 15 years writing this book?
That is correct. It's a great honor to be with you, sir, and it's an honor to share these thoughts with your listening audience. I would say the work of the study on this does go back nearly 15 years, and the reason that I did the work was because I was involved in a interesting small town where there was a Gideon's Bible distribution going on, And in the middle of that, a group came to town by the name of the ACLU. I'm sure you've never heard of that group before, or probably neither have your listeners.
Well, I like to call them the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union. But go right ahead.
Well, I guess you know possibly who they are then. At any rate, they closed down the program, and that startled me because it was actually in the context of the early 1980s when it was the year of the Bible or thereabouts, and I thought, this is strange. So I did something I had never done before, and that is I sat down and wrote a letter to the local newspaper editor, and I wanted to complain a little bit about how unjust I thought this was, and I'm sure I shared some thoughts about the faith of our founders and the need for children to have knowledge of the Bible or whatever. And I was pretty proud of myself, but the weekly newspaper I wrote to not only printed my article, a week later they printed a critique of my article by another person in the community, and I was horrified. I didn't realize if you stuck your neck up out of the foxhole, you got shot at. So I got shot at, and I was embarrassed because I thought, well, what if I don't know my stuff? Do I answer this paper? Do I go into debate? And so I made a decision, and that was basically I would not speak or write on this topic again until I was really confident I knew what it was all about. I really knew my stuff. And so for the next several years, I just, as a hobby, I started reading in this field. And then after I had done it for some years, I realized that the area that was least clearly developed in the debate was George Washington. And so I started working on George Washington. And lo and behold, several years later, when I was getting close to being done with my research, some friends had heard that I was getting close to being done, and they said, you know, there's somebody who would like to write a book on Washington. He's written with Dr. Kennedy. His name is Jerry Newcomb. And so we talked, and we started teaming up to write a book because he's a great popular writer. I'm more of a historian scholar type person. And at the end of the day, when Coral Ridge Ministries heard about this, they said, well, if the Providence Forum decides to publish this book, we will advance order something like 18,000 copies. And I thought, my goodness, 18,000 copies, sight unseen, they're going to order it? That really got me serious. So I worked really hard for another year to just get it written with Jerry, and lo and behold, it came out. And I think we've sold in the neighborhood of something like 30,000 copies now, so we're very pleased.
And, of course, it's an academic book, but it reads very, very well. It's easy to read, and, of course, it crystallizes very well the faith and the Christian faith of George Washington. But was he an evangelical Christian, as we talk about evangelical Christians today?
Well, that's a great question. It depends how you define evangelical. Obviously, that word can be defined in different ways. If we mean by it someone who was an evangelist who openly shared, let's say, the gospel text to convert someone, I don't think we can call Washington an evangelical in that sense. He was very reserved, and he was not someone who made it a point to step out of his military or business or political roles to do Christian missionary or evangelistic work. But if you define evangelical more specifically in the way of someone who believes the historic Christian faith, the truth of the cross, the truth of the resurrection, the truth of salvation through faith, well, the answer there seems to me that he was a member of a church that taught the evangelical Christian faith. In that time in history, he was a very, very active member of the Anglican Church. Their doctrinal standards were the 39 Articles of the Church of England. He actually had commentaries on the 39 Articles. He was a member of a vestry church. His pastors, we can show from their sermons, preached evangelical messages, and he regularly identified himself publicly and privately, both in letters and in worship services, with that historic Christian faith. Even at times participated in the Christian communion service. So all of that suggests that he had an evangelical faith that was consistent with the time in which he lived.
Well, of course, one of the points you make in your book is so well, is that there are people who do not like the evangelical Christian faith, who do not like Christianity as it's presented today. And as they rewrite the history of that era and of George Washington, they insert their own bias, and of course by so doing, why they tend to intentionally undermine any evidence or discussion of George Washington's Christian faith. Would that be a fair appraisal?
I think it is a fair appraisal. We could put it this way. Everybody would like to have George Washington on their side. I mean, after all, he's one of those rare figures that dominate over history, and he always will. As long as there's an America, the name of Washington will be very, very important. And so whatever Washington believed or did or taught or acted upon will be significant in some way for the founding of America. In fact, he understood that. He said, as the first precedent or president under the American Constitution, everything I do will establish a precedent for those that come after me. In other words, they'll have to agree or disagree with what he had done. And so he was very conscious of the impact of his life. Well, all of us know that. And so as a result, it's one of the arguments to try to create a more secular, a more anti-religious world, a modern world, a postmodern world that does not want to have Christianity, is to show that our founders were really not interested in religion or in Christianity, that they were in some way deistic, that is, believing in an absentee creator God. They believe there's a God, but not a God who would speak to us in the scriptures, not a God who came to save his people. And so with those kind of ideas in hand, making Washington less of a Christian makes it easier to argue that America never was all that religious. So now that we're secularists, it's okay, because our founders weren't that important about religion. But if you turn the argument around the other way, if our founders consciously were concerned about the Judeo-Christian ethic, the religion that was the tradition from the Reformation, if they were concerned for the Bible and the teachings of Christianity, then the kind of unreligious secularism that's here today is not consistent with our founding, but is a conscious move away from our founding fathers' vision. And so it's really part of the great debate about who we are as a people, is what did our founders believe.
And of course, you point out in your book, why 98.4% of the Americans who were in this country at the time of the Revolution considered themselves to be Christians. Certainly another 1% that claimed to be Catholics. So you have almost 8%, something like that, who were either Protestant or Catholic. We were a Christian nation. And as you point out, that there were many times in the writings and statements, public statements, of George Washington, where he talked about the importance of Christianity and being a Christian gentleman and a Christian patriot. And he used the word Christian. And it seems that the people who have written the books that are undermining George Washington's Christian faith just totally ignore those statements.
I would say you're absolutely right. Many scholars write books on Washington as though he had no religious faith. And what they do is they either are unaware of the massive evidence of his religious faith, or they intentionally step around it and bypass it. And so all that I've tried to do is to use Washington's own words, his own historical commitments, relationships, circumstances, and show what that looks like when you put it all together. And it's impossible to turn him into a deist. The evidence from a scholarly, careful analysis shows that he was clearly within the Christian tradition, and you cannot escape it. That's the upshot of my book. So 1,200 pages to show it, and the evidence is there.
And, of course, it's extensively documented. I mean, a couple hundred pages just of documentation. And what about that statement he made to the Delaware Indian Chief?
Well, one of the most exciting passages that I've come across disproves what some scholars have said, and that is, well, Washington never even mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not true. In a remarkable moment with the Delaware Indians, I think it was at Middlebrook was the town, during the early stages of the Revolutionary War, these Indian chiefs brought, or let's say the Indian braves at least, brought the sons of the chiefs to the Americans and said, we want you to train our children and to teach us your religion. And Washington wrote a diplomatic speech that has been preserved. It said, of all the things you want to learn from the Americans, above all is that you learn the religion of Jesus Christ, for this will make you a greater and happier people than you are. Now, that was something that no deist could ever have said. There was no reason for him to have said it unless he actually believed it. And what's most interesting to me is that he goes on to say, and I'm going to send you on to Congress, and I'm absolutely convinced that they will be happy to assist you in your desire. Now, wouldn't it be great to be able to say, I'm going to send you on to Congress so you can learn about Christianity. I know they will help you. Well, Congress has apparently changed between back then and today.
Well, I think Congress has changed a lot. You can imagine what the ACLU would do about that, and what the Supreme Court, at least as traditionally constituted, would do. Of course, they will not allow a little child to talk about Jesus Christ in the classroom.
That's right.
Even though the Supreme Court opens their sessions with each and every session when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. How could you have that as the tradition of the Supreme Court, but you won't let the name God, the word God, or Jesus Christ be used in the classroom? There's something seriously wrong with our, what's going on today, and I would like to suggest the very crux of the battle that is taking place across America today is an intense hatred of Christianity in an effort to remove the realization that once we were a great Christian nation.
Have you ever felt...
This is a market alert from Midas Resources. Since August 9th, the Fed has created and injected $200 billion into the financial markets to keep them afloat, ignoring the hyperinflationary hangover that is the sure result. Data released by the New York Federal Reserve shows that foreign central banks have cut their stash of U.S. Treasuries by $48 billion since late July, with falls of $32 billion in the last 2 weeks alone. Could China be quietly dumping the dollar? The quality of your life depends on the quality of your currency, and the quality of the dollar is poor because the quantity is so high. Printing money out of thin air has disastrous results, victimizing middle-class citizens and discouraging savings. If you have been considering precious metals as a hedge against inflation, you need to act now. Procrastination is the mother of lost opportunities. Call me, Tom Andrew, at 1-800-606-1294. That's 1-800-606-1294.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Be sure to tune in to our new program, Crash, Are You Ready?, which airs just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones, weekdays, Monday through Friday. On Wednesday, October 10th, we will feature a very special guest, Congressman Ron Paul. Congressman Ron Paul will discuss the parasitic debt money system of the Federal Reserve Bank and what he would do to make positive changes in an era of false flag manufactured fear. As the neocon artist's relentless assault on our freedoms increases, one man has stood as a bulwark against the one-world debt slavery system. Congressman Ron Paul. Again, be sure to tune in Wednesday, October 10th, to our new program, Crash, Are You Ready?, for this very special interview.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, all debt has become mathematically impossible to repay, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I would like to suggest that the history is always being rewritten. Why? Because they don't want people to know the truth. And they don't want people to understand that George Washington was a Christian. His Christianity was that of the Anglican faith of that era, which believed in the triune God. It was a very formal religion, quite different in many respects than the many of the forms of religion we have today. But no question about the acceptance of the fact that Christ came and was born of a virgin and certainly was crucified and was resurrected, which is the very foundation of the Christian faith and the supernatural occurrence associated with that. But one of the issues, of course, that's made repeatedly by the detractors from George Washington is, well, sometimes George Washington didn't take communion. How do you respond to that?
Well, it's a very good point, because we would recognize that one of the signs of a person's commitment to the Christian faith is his participation in the Lord's Supper or the communion service or the Eucharist, depending on the phrase that you might use. And the truth is, everybody, as far as I can tell, agrees that Washington was a regular communicant in his church when he was in Virginia before the Revolutionary War. I've never found anybody disagree with that. The reasons are clear. He was an active churchman. He was a vestryman, a church warden. By those high positions in the church, he had to participate. If he did not, he would have had to step out of his offices. And yet he was a thoroughly consistent, active church leader. The testimony from everyone is that he participated. But it is clear that something happened when the Revolutionary War came. And many people say what happened is that he became a deist, and so he didn't participate. Now, that's a possible thesis that we might accept. But the only problem with this is that in the Revolutionary War, there continues to be evidence that is very substantial that shows that Washington communed, but he didn't commune in an Anglican church. And so we might say, what's going on here? Well, I think in your earlier remarks, you put your finger on it. And that is that the King of England was, in fact, the head of the church. And when you sat down at the communion table, you were not only communing with Jesus Christ and with other Christians, but you were also committing yourself to the kingship of the King of England, who is the head of the church. And Washington realized he was not in communion with the head of the Anglican church, the king, because he believed the king had become a tyrant, that he was harming the people in his nation, and he had declared independence from him. But he did not want to declare his independence from Jesus Christ. And the reason that we can see that is that he not only calls himself and calls on his soldiers to be Christians in the Revolutionary War on many occasions, there's evidence that he communed at the Christian Lord's Supper in non-Anglican churches where he was not kept away from the table by conscience, or perhaps by Anglican priests who said, we won't welcome you here. You're leading a rebellion against the head of our church, the king. And so the Presbyterian Church of Morristown, New Jersey, has a wonderful record going back to the early revolutionary era, and they can tell you exactly where Washington came and communed at the church outside, because the church was being used for a smallpox hospital. And the family that was the pastoral tradition there kept that alive for years. You go to the church today, they have stained glass windows of Washington taking communion at their church building. So it's a living testimony that's still there. We also have records that have been preserved from the testimonies of members of a German Reformed congregation in Philadelphia where he communed. And there seems to be very clear evidence that once the war was over and the American government had been established, that he actually participated in the communion service on the day of his inauguration. It's Mrs. Alexander Hamilton, we've heard that name before, who says to her children on two different occasions, it's been preserved, that she had the joy of kneeling and taking communion after the inauguration service in New York City with the newly inaugurated President George Washington. So she was an eyewitness that preserved it. So once the war was over and there had been a peace treaty signed and the Anglican Church was no longer in hostility with America because they had now allowed the Episcopal Church, Washington communed in the Episcopal Church, and he did it as the President of the United States. So that's clearly an expression of his commitment to the Christian tradition of his church.
And, of course, the Episcopalianism was simply the American extension of the original Anglican Church. And the trouble is today that most people don't know church history. They don't understand the intricacies of what's going on. And there really are people who hate Christianity. I hate to say that, but there are. And they will do anything they can to undermine it, and specifically to undermine any evidence that suggests that George Washington was a Christian. Because after all, if they can destroy the concept that George Washington was a Christian, why then they can undermine the very concept that America was founded by Christians under Christian precepts. We were not to have a minister or, you know, in charge of our country. We were to have a free country where men would rule themselves according to God's law.
Order a cop.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
How would you like to have a tool to use at home that you can use anytime that helps reduce back pain, sciatica, hip pain, and more? A tool that helps relieve the pain and doesn't just treat the symptoms. You need the Sacrowedgesacral Stabilizer. One satisfied user states, "I don't believe in gadgets, but this is a miracle." Yes, that's right. Just relax 20 minutes daily or when needed to help correct the muscle imbalance that creates many of these symptoms. Gravity does the work with the Sacrowedgie under the sacrum and support under your neck. Help correct posture to help relieve the pain. Better balance equals fewer problems. You can even sit on the Sacrowedgie at the computer or while traveling. This device has been helping people for the past 15 years, yet the cost is still just $29.95. Finally, something available that really relieves those stubborn aches and pains. Call 1-800-737-9295 for a free brochure or visit their website at sacrowedgie.com. sacrowedgy.com. That's sacrowedgy.com. Or call 1-800-737-9295 today.
I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, M.D. of the Nutramedical Report here on Genesis. Allicin's natural antibiotic from Alamax Nutraceuticals U.S. is a real thing. This amazing molecule is a stabilized antimicrobial, antipathogenic killer for a fresh, never-before-available garlic. Allicin molecule is biologically active against all bacterial pathogens, viruses, fungi, parasites, TB, and it kills flesh-eating bacteria, MRSA, Acinetobacter infections that ravage our everyday health. Taken daily, it removes these stealth pathogens, clearing our bodies of disease activators that cause chronic health issues. It means a much higher level of wellness for you and your family. Order today for fighting disease, turning on your immune system, activating infection-fighting properties against sinus, lung, bowel, skin, Lyme disease, nail fungus, colds, flu, ringworm, gum disease, diarrhea, athlete's foot, and cholesterol. Secure online ordering is available at NutraMedical.com or call 888-212-8871. That number again, 888-212-8871, for the most powerful natural antimicrobial available.
This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Peter Lilback. His book, George Washington, Sacred Fire. Before we go on, Dr. Lilback, would you like to get out your telephone number and tell, if you have a website, I would like to have that. And then we'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your book if they'd like to.
That's great. Thank you so much. Well, what I would recommend your listeners to do, all of you that would like to have a copy of George Washington Sacred Fire is that you can go right online with the Providence Forum. Our website is providenceforum.org. That's two words in one. providenceforum.org. That's the best way. But we're excited to say that you can now get the book many, many places. For example, if you happen to be traveling along and you get to Mount Vernon or the National Constitution Center or other historic places, we find that they're carrying our book, which is really exciting. And, of course, you can get it just going to some of the great online bookstores such as Amazon.com as well. But we'd love you to come as a listener to our website, because then you can learn more about the work of the Providence Forum in general. So that's providenceforum.org.
All right, fine. I was just saying that I was really rather surprised to realize that, you know, even after the Revolutionary War, where, of course, the matter of religion was left up to the individual states, and in Virginia, at least for a few years after the Revolutionary War, why you had to attend church, the Anglican Church, and you had to pay to support the Anglican Church. And then along came Thomas Jefferson and I guess Madison, and they, of course, changed those laws, didn't they?
They did. One of the things that's interesting is that Thomas Jefferson and Madison both agreed very strongly that when religion is imposed by a state, it always creates religious persecution, a denial of some freedoms, and at the end of the day, it creates hypocrisy, people who just join something they don't believe. And their arguments are telling, and I think most people today would recognize them to be very, very true. It is much more authentic when a person doesn't have to worship by any compulsion of state law, and he worships freely. And that's the point. After all the laws were banished for required worship, required tithe, Washington continued to worship freely, indicating it wasn't something he did because the government was forcing him to do it. It was part of who he was as a human being. And he was consciously aware that his life was setting an example for others. He believed that religion and morality were important for the nation, and therefore it was important for him, who was leading the nation, to set an example of the importance of religion for the people. And so when he was in the presidency and his local church was close, he never missed on Sundays. Now, when he was at Mount Vernon, where the closest church was maybe 9 or 10 miles away across rutted and muddy, bumpy roads, he sometimes didn't make it because sometimes they didn't have preachers there. They had circuit riders a lot of times as well. And the evidence is from the family that Washington would read sermons or have someone read sermons to his family, and that he often, according to the records of others, would read a chapter from the Bible before the family went to worship. So the Bible and Christian sermons were a very important part of the Washington household. They worshiped not because they were required to by law, but because that was their commitment.
And I really believe both Jefferson and Madison believed, of course, that religion was important. They just didn't want the state to be able to impose it upon people, because whenever the state can impose religion upon people, then the state can manipulate people using religion to aggrandize the power of the state. So what they did with the Virginia Bill of Rights was really very important to the establishment of the very concepts upon which America is founded. Would that be a fair appraisal?
I think it is a very fair appraisal. It's clear that in the what was called the Memorial and Remonstrance, that's quite a mouthful, but that was what Madison wrote against the bill that had been established to have state funding, to have teachers of religion in Virginia. Washington was not troubled by that. He actually said, I don't have any problem if taxpayer dollars are used to have Christian teachers supported by government money, as long as those who aren't Christians have a way of relief from the tax. He didn't want anybody to pay what they didn't believe, but he said, if you claim to be a Christian, then we shouldn't be upset that you're going to be taxed have Christian schools. That's fine. Well, Madison saw that, and he disagreed, and part of his arguments are not only the concern of state power, the potential abuse, and the violation of conscience, but he also said because he wanted Christianity to flourish, interesting, he wanted Christianity to flourish, he said we should not use a method that will in any way encourage a counterfeit form or a hypocritical form of Christianity. We want the pure Christianity of one who really believes it to exercise his faith. And so Madison's argument was not, let's get rid of taxes for religion because I'm anti-Christian. It was actually the opposite. So let's get rid of taxation for religious groups in the state so that the real Christian faith will flourish. And by the way, that's true. Wherever there's a state church in the world today, it's declining and almost disappearing. But where churches, as in America, are free to do their own work and they have no government support, well, they are strong and healthy because they realize this is what we believe and we give to what we believe. So Madison's argument has been sustained. Now, Jefferson's faith is a little more complicated, and we don't have time to pursue it, but let me just say this. It's clear that Jefferson understood that the Bible and Christian teachings were important for the health of the nation. Under his presidency, he provided funding for building of churches for Indians, for getting Bibles out to schools, and he was one who said that the ethics of Jesus are the best that the world has ever seen, the duty to love our neighbor. So he was very concerned that people had Christian teaching, and his personal religion was one that was very personal. He did not like to talk about religion, and that's a debated topic in its own right.
Well, maybe sometime where you can do a 1,000-page book on that. I think it's a fascinating subject and something which has always fascinated me. But certainly when you have a church that people have to pay into, then there's a very real incentive for people to get up high in that church so you can get your hands on all the money.
That's exactly
Whereas,
right.
Of course, when it's a voluntary thing and there's not that much money there, why, of course, people go into the ministry because they want to preach the Word of God, not because they want personal aggrandizement. And this is what really disturbs me so much about the faith-based initiatives where they've been paying off our Christian churches across America to go along with the current administration. But let's not get into a political discussion, because I would really like, of course, to stay with your analysis of the faith of George Washington. And there's so many quotations that are compiled here about what George Washington wrote about Christianity. And he wasn't really in the least bit shy about talking about, you know, how important Christianity was for the army and the chaplains and the religious beliefs of the soldiers, was he?
That's exactly right. He was very concerned that the Christian faith would impact his soldiers. In fact, he told his men at Valley Forge that they needed to realize that while they were doing something very noble to be patriotic and fight for their country, they needed to add even a higher element to their character, and that was of being a Christian. He saw patriotism as really important. You'd expect a general of an army that's fighting for independence to say that. But he said to them, it's even more important that you be a Christian. That was an evangelistic statement. He called his soldiers to be Christian soldiers, defending the dearest liberties and rights of their nation. And he constantly encouraged clergymen and chaplains in the military. And he even helped to see sermons to be distributed to soldiers. There's a special prayer that actually was developed by Washington's favorite chaplain, a man by the name of Abiel Leonard, a beautiful Christian prayer for a soldier. Washington had it in his own library. It was distributed to his soldiers. It was kind of like their book of daily prayer for a soldier. It was very Christian. So he had a very deep interest in his men's faith. You can understand this. He was aware that Christianity created moral men. Moral men created good soldiers. But he also understood that soldiers were getting ready to lay down their lives, and that meant they needed to be ready to face eternity. And having the Christian faith close at hand was very important. At the end of the war, one of the Presbyterian Church leaders came and said, well, there's a new Bible that's available by a man named Aitken. Actually, the American Congress in 1782 produced a Bible that with their blessing on it. It was actually done by an individual, but they had reviewed it and recommended it to the American people. And Washington said if the idea had come earlier before he'd sent half of his army home, he would have accepted the idea of giving every soldier a copy of the Bible as an expression of thanks for their work in the military. Washington himself was a very deep Bible reader. There are over 200 different Bible allusions, references, quotes that I've come across in his writing. And that's, I think, the second appendix of my volume there will show that. So, a man of faith that was very concerned that preaching and the gospel were part of his army.
Well, of course, where did you get the information? Did you get it from the writings? There, I know there are volumes and volumes of the letters of George Washington. Was that the source of your research, or what did you primarily use?
Yes, there's a 37-volume set that was done at about the time of the bicentennial of Washington's birth back in 1932 that's just filled with his letters, one after another. And we've worked through those, and thankfully, now with the help of the Library of Congress, it's been computerized, so you can do easier research on it. That really helps a lot, and you don't have to pick up every volume. You actually can print them out in the privacy of your own study, so you can get those by going online at the Library of Congress. At anybody's laptop can find them, which makes it easier to do research this way. But then also, I began to realize that no one had ever carefully analyzed the books in his own library. So I went to the Boston Athenaeum, which is where most of his library has ended up being collected. That's a long story how it got there. But that they have cataloged his books, and then I began to follow up as many of those books as I could, either there or from other sources, and I discovered that many of the things he collected were, in fact, religious. Many of them were sermons. Washington actually had a sermon collection in his own library that he had bound. And when you look at those sermons, you discover that some of them he not only had read, but he had also written to the preacher who'd preached it. And in those cases, he sometimes said, "I agree with it. I delighted in it. The doctrine in them is sound." And the one that he said, "the doctrine in it is sound," I especially loved, because that sermon was written to disprove deism and to prove the truth of Christianity. So Washington as a deist had to be the biggest liar in history, or he actually was very clearly a Christian man, delighting in a Christian sermon that was critiquing the dangers and falsehood of deism.
Well, you comment, of course, to his relationship with Thomas Paine. Now, for our listeners, Thomas Paine had written Common Sense, and many people, of course, attribute it to Paine's and Paine's writings, really one of the major impetuses for the American Revolution. And so, certainly, George Washington supported Paine and his stimulating and certainly a very seminal work as far as creating the background to our revolution. But when Thomas Paine then wrote a book called The Age of Reason, which he, of course, took out after Christianity and did everything he could to undermine the Christian faith, didn't that, of course, change the relationship? And what happened at that time?
I think you've asked an excellent question. It is clear that during the American Revolutionary War and before, Washington had the highest regard and respect for Thomas Paine, a Britishman who helped to argue that the British crown was now violating the fundamental rights of Americans and independence was justified. That was Common Sense, and it was an impactful book on Washington. But later, when Thomas Paine wrote the book, The Age of Reason, that attacks Christianity, suddenly Washington never communicates again with Thomas Paine. Even when Thomas Paine had written some of these books and then ended up being in France and getting caught in the French Revolution and wanted to be rescued, Washington did not involve himself in the matter. And people have often wondered, well, what happened here? Well, as I studied Washington, it's clear that as a very quiet person in his own personal approach to the world, and also one who did not want to get himself into a situation where he would be forced to get into a public debate on a topic that was very difficult for him to address, that he would just use the method of non-communication. And so his non-communication with Paine after the Age of Reason demonstrates he did not agree with him, he was upset with him, and he did not write to him. It made Paine so mad that it caused him to begin to write public attacks against Washington, criticizing him and tearing him apart, and Washington still remained quiet. So it's clear that Washington was not a deist, delighting in the deist faith of Thomas Paine, but actually quite the opposite. Like many other Americans, they were horrified that someone who had been such a great leader for the American cause had now turned against the Christian faith that was so important to the American soldiers in the new country.
And I think really one of the most significant things is that George Washington was a very quiet, a very unassuming individual, and he was never out there talking about in great detail about his Christian faith or telling everybody how he was communing with God or God was speaking to him and telling him this and that. He was very, 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 very personal, and he was not somebody who was after his own aggrandizement. Would that be a fair statement?
That is very true. That one of his clergymen, Bishop White from Philadelphia, said that he often remarked, if you didn't know who George Washington was when you were in his company, you would never know that he was a man who had made a mark on history. He would never speak of himself, and he always was looking for a way to care for others. So he had, if you will, a profoundly humble and gracious spirit, qualities that are very dear to a true Christian gentleman. So there was a reserved dignity that he had by way of perhaps his Virginia nobility upbringing, his temperament, which was very inward. He did not like to talk about himself. And then I think just the Christian virtue of humility, which he prized very highly. It was not about yourself. You were given great talents and gifts to bless others. And that's how he lived his life. He truly is a role model of what Christians have come to call a servant leader, a man who takes his great gifts that have been given to him and invest them in a public way for the good of others. Washington is a great role model.
And I don't even think he necessarily wanted to be the President of the United States after the war. He wanted to retire. He wanted to go back to his home. He wanted to live out his life in peace and quiet.
That's right. There's an interesting point here. We've heard of Cincinnati, Ohio. Many people don't realize that there was a Roman general by the name of Cincinnatus, and it was Washington who helped people rediscover this gentleman named Cincinnatus. He was the Roman general who conquered, and he was so effective in the battle that what he ended up doing was coming home as a victor, and instead of becoming a great leader, he said, just let me retire to my farm and be a farmer. And that was Washington's vision. Let me go back to Mount Vernon, which the place he called, using biblical language, my vine and my fig tree, a place of retirement. He was a man not seeking power, but of service and humility.
And yet, of course, the other people wanted him to be the leader, who was the one man that could unite the country. And he did, and he did it very effectively, and laid the foundation for America. And that's why they are so intent upon trying to convince you he was not a noble Christian. Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, all debt has become mathematically impossible to repay, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Matthew Wyman. Matthew, you had a quick announcement you wanted to make? Matthew, go ahead.
Oh, okay, thank you. Well, first of all, Dr. Stan, I read your book, In the Shadows, the Brotherhood of Darkness, I should say. Another good one is In the Shadows of Power, about CFR. And it's pretty darn clear. There's so much research that's been done following the Illuminati all the way back to Bavaria, into the Knights Templar, the first bankers, and the folks who are behind this are the world bankers, and above them, the Illuminati, which is a Luciferian organization that meets in Northern California, Bohemian Grove, and is currently the Skull and Bones administration belongs to it. There's just so much damning evidence out there.
Well, no, you wanted to make an announcement, so why don't you go ahead?
Well, I do. I want to let people know that this Friday, tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Veterans Hall in downtown Santa Cruz near the town clock, I will be presenting this incredible quantity of evidence to help the people come together, whether over Christ or over the love of their planet that's being destroyed and consumed. That they can see this information and come together.
All right, now that's at the Veterans Administration hall there, sitting right next to the post office. What time is that tomorrow?
Well, I could start at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 7:30.
All right, fine. So the Veterans Hall there on Front Street, I guess it is, and of course, 7:30 tomorrow evening, and Matthew will be presenting. Anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, that's just it. God bless you, Dr. Stan.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And let's go to Mike. You also have an announcement. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, another announcement. On September 11th, the movie Terror Storm will be presented at the Rio Theater at 7 p.m. by Santa Cruz 911 Truth Organization. One showing only, in commemoration of the tragic events of September 11th, 2001.
This
is the updated version produced by Alex Jones, revealing a history of government-sponsored terrorism. So please join us for an educational evening and gain an understanding of the way our government uses war and terror to implement foreign and to domestic policy.
All right, that is the Real Theater, and where is that?
That's on SoCal Avenue on the way into town. I don't have the exact
All right, what time address. What time is that?
At 7 p.m.
All right, Bright comes into SoCal.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
God bless. Thanks very much, Mike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. And so these are our local issues, but we certainly wanted to get the announcements out. That's on 9/11, and that's September 11th, and that's going to be at the Rio Theater. Well, this is the time when I do need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you believe, as I do, that this is a spiritual battle being fought on the political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and that anything that supports the concept that America was at one time a great Christian nation has to be undermined and destroyed. And that's why my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is so very important, and my talk on the forbidden secret, Chris Pinto's two great DVDs, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and his award-winning DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone. If you were to see all of these, you would know more than most college professors and most college graduates. And I'll tell you what, when I graduated from college, I had no idea of the true history of our nation. or, of course, that there is an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And the enemy is not, of course, over in Afghanistan or Iraq. The enemy is here, and their headquarters, one of them, is at 68th Street in New York City, the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations, and they work through the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford, through our major universities. And their desire is to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and merge us into a one-world government with a one-world religion and a one-world ruler, exactly as prophesied in the scriptures. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times.